Thank you, Dan, and good morning. I'd ask the gentleman back there with the music if you would have number 295, first and last verse, ready. I forgot to ask you. That's my age kicking in. 295. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. This morning we're going to look at the subject time. Time. And we all have plenty of that, or we at least think we do. Do you know there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27? It says this: it is appointed unto man or woman once to die, and after this the judgment. Do you think that time is ever altered? Who puts that time in place when you will pass from time into eternity? It is God and God alone. And God doesn't change his mind. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to look at a few people today. We're going to look at this day. We're going to look at this night. We're going to look at briefly at tomorrow and forever. That is time. That is time. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So first of all, we're looking at today is a day of responsibility. Whose responsibility? Yours and mine. Today, right now, is your responsibility. And what the scripture has just said, it means that we need to make a choice. Life or death before us, that is our choice. God does not force anyone to accept his Son as Savior. God will not force anyone to decide to come to his heaven. God will give you that free will choice, just like he gave me, he will give to you. And he says, this day I have, as it were, laid out before you the plan of salvation. I have laid everything out before you. You must make that choice. Turn now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, which will be our main story. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. First of all, and we're talking about time. We're talking about time. And when I preach the gospel, you know what? First of all, it speaks to me. I don't come out to point to anyone this morning, because your life and your time is between you and your God. That's your business, your choice. These messages speak to me because I was 31 years living in the world under this sentence, and on one day I made a choice in 1982, December 22nd. And I stepped out of time, and now my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life for all eternity. And you can do that too if you make a choice. We're going to look for the little word. We looked at that. We've seen the little word this day, a day of responsibility. This is a night of retribution. Read this. We're going to read this story and let us think about it a little bit. Verse 16 of chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel, this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. He's speaking a parable. That is an earthly story with a spiritual or heavenly meaning. He says this, and he spake a parable unto them, that is the Lord Jesus, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said this, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he, that is you or I or anyone else, that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So first of all, we saw this day of responsibility. Here we read the story of this night of retribution. This man received what he made with the choice that he made. He received that. Time ran out on this man, and eternity began. Let's turn to one more. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 27, speaking about tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. It says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You do not know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. We're going to look at a few people that did not expect to happen what happened to them. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't brag about tomorrow. We can have plans, yes. But if we leave God out of their picture, we are walking on very dangerous ground. So if we see, first of all, this day of responsibility, this night of retribution, we see tomorrow of regret. And we could go on and talk about forever. The Bible speaks about eternity. And eternity, or eternal life, eternal damnation, is forever. That is something that begins after time is done, and it never, ever comes to an end. That is the seriousness of the choices that you and I make. If you went on the internet, you would find these things that I'm talking about now. First of all, a gentleman called John Lennon. John Lennon was one of the Beatles, very popular group of musicians who made a fortune. John Lennon, two of his interests were history and theology. John Lennon died at the age of 40. He was born in October of 9th of 1940. He died in 1980, 40 years old. If you went on the internet, you would see that it says on the headlines, "Untimely deaths." And so many people blame God for taking this man from his life. There was a man who shot at him five times and hit him four times in the back, and he was dead. That morning, he was out recording a new album. Did he expect to be shot that day? No. But you know what God looks at you and I as we live? I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 for one moment. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That is the question asked. Who can know that? I'm looking down at you, and I have no idea what's going on in your life. Look what the answer is. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." On the internet, it says this gentleman and other people we're going to talk about, they had untimely deaths. I disagree with that. I believe everyone was a timely death. What did we read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27? "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." This rich man that we're going to talk about in the Word of God, it said, "This night thy soul is required of thee." Was that an untimely death? No, it was not. That was a timely death. That was the point in time that God had already appointed that he would leave this scene. But up to that point, what was this man's life like? And this was probably his last year of his life. He didn't know that. God knew it, and God blessed him with a bountiful crop. He blessed him with crops that were so abundantly great that he said, "I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build greater ones." Was that just a one-time thing that this man had, attitude he had in his life? No, that was his whole life's attitude. And you know what? Time ran out. Do you know what it says? God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee." What was God saying? This night your appointment is due. and time ran out. It wasn't an untimely death. It was right on time. What about John Lennon? It was a timely death. It came up to that point when Mr. John Lennon, it was his time to die. How was his life up to that point? He wrote a song called Imagine. Very popular. Sold thousands of copies. You know what it said in that song that he, the first verse says this: imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. What was that man's attitude? What was his theology? Remember, that was one of his interests. At one of his interviews with an American interviewer, he said this: Christianity will end and will disappear. It will. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Listen to what he says about him and the rest of the group, the Beatles. Today, we are more famous than him. Time ran out on John Lennon. He was shot by another man four times. It was not a non-timely death, but up to that point, that is the way John Lennon thought. That is the way he lived. He basically said, there is no God. What about the man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12? We read in two verses, six times he says, I, and five times he says, me. He never mentions God once. Not once, in just this little portion of his life. What about the rest of his life? Same thing. You know what? God is a tremendously compassionate God. The Bible, my Bible, says this. It says that he is not willing that any should perish. It says in the Old Testament, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Does that mean that God, we have people on there saying, God is a cruel God. Why did he cut this man's life short? And if this guy was so bad, then why is the heathen out there today, so many of them still alive? Because their time has not come yet. John Lennon's time had come. His appointment had come. And up to that point, he had been living for self, for the world, and for the devil. And time ran out, and eternity began. What is the point of all this? Time. When time runs out, you need to be ready for eternity. How about someone else? How about Marilyn Monroe? Beautiful young lady. Back in the 60s. She was performing, putting on a performance, and she was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation. He said the Spirit of God had sent him to preach to her. After hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, I don't need your Jesus. A week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Did God just knock the pegs out from her and strike her dead? No, that was her appointed time. But how did she live up to her appointed time? She lived for self. She had no need of Jesus Christ. She had no need of God. Same thing again, go back to chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel. This man had no time for God. It was all about me, myself, and I. What is one of the commandments in the New Testament? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. A man blessed with abundant crops, he never even thought about his neighbors. All he thought about was tearing down his barns, building greater ones, so that he could have all this stuff for me, myself, and I. He never even thanked God once. What is the point? Leaving God out of your life. And a lot of these people that we're talking about were people with tremendous influence on others. And when you say these words, the Bible says, be not deceived. God will not be mocked, or he is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So be careful what we say when we're mocking God. Is there people who mock God? Yes, the world is full of that. And you say, well, how come God didn't strike them? Because their appointed time has not come yet. But if they are not saved, if they have not repented, if they have not changed their mind, when time runs out and eternity begins, where will they end up? Do you know where? Hell. A place that is not, God did not prepare for people. Matthew says he prepared for the devil and his angels. But those who choose to follow him will have to follow him right into hell. Choose, a choice. We heard that there on about the Iwana, about the simple message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again. And God asked you and I to believe that, to accept it, and to say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, brother. But you know what? As we get older, and especially young children, it's so nice to get the gospel to them when their heart is tender. They haven't begun to live a life in the sin and building up that sin as we, and we, our hearts begin to harden. We start to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We enjoy all the things around us in this world. And we have enemies. We have the world that we're surrounded by. We have the flesh that is within us, and we have the devil that is against us. And we need to overcome them. Marilyn Monroe was 36 years old when she died. You could say a wasted life. But we have people on the internet and other people saying, blaming God for taking them out of the situation before their time. God already knew. He knows every person sitting in this auditorium this morning. He knows when your appointed time is. You do not. John Lennon didn't know that that night, October 8th, 1980, he would be in the eternity. He didn't know that. But God did. Marilyn Monroe did not know that 36 years old, she would die of an overdose. You'd say, well, what caused her to do that? It was her way of living. Why do people do these things? She said to Billy Graham, I don't need your Jesus. Just give me all the other things. And she died at the age of 36. Bon Scott, a singer, the ex-vocalist of AC/DC, on one of his 1979 songs, he sang, Don't Stop Me, I'm Going Down All the Way Down to the Highway of Hell. That was the name of the song. Highway, Highway to Hell. Says some of the words, Hey Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rock and roll band. Hey mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. What was his attitude? How was his life? Bon Scott, he was found dead. He had been choked by his own vomit. Drinking, drugs, same thing with Marilyn Monroe and so many other people who have it all. God has blessed them. God blessed this man in Luke's gospel beyond compare. And what did he get? No thanks at all. But time ran out and eternity began. Was that God's fault or was it the individual's fault? See, the world loves to paint God as some cruel ogre type of person. Let me give you, God has a tremendously compassionate will. His will is compassionate. What about God's word? God's word is clear. The greatest verse in the Bible, if you will, or the most popular, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is Jesus Christ. He was a unique son, only one of a kind, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's word is clear. John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. God's word is clear. His will is compassionate. He's not willing that any should perish, but he also, God's way is Christ. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So God has laid it all out before us. And he says, you make the choice. And we see that these people did make a choice. They made a choice. And where are they today? Cazuza, a bisexual Brazilian composer, singer, and poet, during a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air and he said, "God, that's for you." What was he saying when he said that? Was that the only time he said it? No, obviously not. What brought that into his mind at that very moment? "God, that's for you." We need to be careful what we say about God. God is real. Did God just take him out of the picture? No, his time was up. His time was up. He died at the age of 32 with lung cancer in a very horrible manner. Man who built the Titanic. Engineer. Very bold and adamant, he said this. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe the Titanic would be. With a bold and ironic tone, he said, "Not even God can sink it." The result, I think you all know what happened. Not only did those statements affect himself, but others. Because those who were on the boat thought that they were on a boat that was absolutely secure and absolutely could not sink. How many people were lost? 1,517 people were lost, drowned, on a boat that was supposed to be safe. What could we use that as an illustration? How many people are standing in pulpits today and telling people just to be a good little person? Be good to your neighbor? Put some money in the collection plate? And you know what? At the end of your life, at the end of time, God cannot keep you out of heaven. What do we say about God's word? Clear? God's way? Christ? God does not change. He will never change. Why should we expect him to? He is the creator. We are the creatures. And yet we get bold and cocky and we say, you know what? I heard one man say, you know what? If Jesus Christ was here, we're going door to door. He said, I'd punch him right in the face. I heard another man on TSN last year, a gentleman from Summerside, and I will not mention his name. And he said something that just scares you. It was about hockey, yes. And in a very cocky way, he was talking about a team that was doing terrible and would never probably ever make the playoffs. And he said this, if Jesus Christ was their coach, they still couldn't win. Hairs go up in the back of your neck when you hear those things. I pray for that man. How is his life? If his life is lived according to the words that you speak, my friend, and time runs out, where do you expect that you're going to be? A place called Campinas, Brazil. In Campinas, Brazil, a group of friends, drunk, right out of their mind, went to pick up a friend, a young girl. The mother of the young girl accompanied her to the car and was worried about the drunkenness of her friends, and she said to her daughter, holding her hand as she was already seated in the car, and she said, "My daughter, go with God and may he protect you." Listen to her response. She responded, "Only if God travels in the trunk, because inside here, it's already full." And there was a great round of laughter. All kinds of fun. Lovely statement. A few hours later, came word that there was a fatal accident, and everyone in that vehicle were killed. But amazingly, the car was roped right off. You could not even distinguish that vehicle. All the front part, but you know what? The trunk was still all intact. True stories as far as I know. And when they opened up that trunk, there was a crate of eggs in the trunk, and not one was broken. Where did she say God could travel? In the trunk. because there was no room in the car with them. Kind of sad, isn't it? And yet there's people today that are saying the same thing and probably a whole lot worse. And how did I live for 31 years? I'd be scared to tell you some of the things that I said and did. And yet God had compassion on me. Jamaican journalist and entertainer said, "The Bible, the Word of God, was the worst book ever written." Just a joke. In June 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. Let's go back to her story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. We'll read it once again. And we read Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 and 10. And that is what God looks on. It's not everything else. He looks on our heart. And what did it say about our heart in Jeremiah 9 and 10? Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10? The heart is deceitful above all things. There's nothing in this world as deceitful as man and women's heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then it says, who can know it? The answer comes, I, the Lord, search the heart. He knows our heart. What is our heart? When he speaks about our heart, is it that part of our body that pumps blood? No, that's not the heart. The heart he's speaking about is our control center of our human body, soul, and spirit. That is the heart that God is talking about, and the heart which involves our minds, that is our thoughts, our motives, our intentions. Then it involves our will, our volition, our will. And it also involves our emotions or our feelings towards God. I'm going to read this over again, and you'll see if you see any of those things that I mentioned, mind, will, and emotions in this little story. And he spake a parable in verse 16 of chapter 12. That is, the Lord Jesus spoke a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Look at verse 17, and he thought within himself. That is the mind, isn't it? Saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. What is the next thing we talked about? What about the will? Look what it says in verse 18. And he said, this will I do. This will I do. He didn't say, this what I do. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruit and my goods. In those two verses alone, six times he says I, and five times he says my. Was that a God-centered life? What about his feelings or his emotions? Look what it says in verse 19. I will say to my soul, your soul is your life. Body, that is what we live in. Soul is our life. And our spirit, that which connects to the Spirit of God the moment we're saved. What does it say in one of the well-known verses in Matthew 16? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own what? Soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What did he say in verse 18? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat, drink, and be merry. His emotions, his feelings towards God was, do you know what it was? There is no God. How do I know that? Look at the next verse. What did God call him? But God said unto him, thou fool. Do you know what it says in Psalm 14, verse 1, and Psalm 53, and verse 1? Two different psalms. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This man did not audibly say it in this chapter that there was no God. He did not say it, did he? Psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, to himself, and the way he lives and acts in his life, there is no God. And when you look at that and you read the story, you can see very well that this man had no part. He did not want to have God in his life. And what happened that night, and that's why God said, the Lord Jesus said, tonight, thy soul is required of thee. In other words, tonight is the end of your life. You didn't know it. Your appointment is tonight. And up to that point, when this man did not expect to leave this world, he expected to go on for many more years. Time was up, and eternity began. And I wonder, I know where he is tonight, if he had never accepted Christ as a Savior. And God does not paint pictures. He doesn't fool around. He doesn't change. And we can read the Word of God. We can see things happening in this world, and they all should point to Christ and show us that there is a God. We look at creation alone. Beautiful. We're coming up to a season where we see absolutely stunning colors. Some people saw the northern lights the other night. Beautiful. Creation. What about our conscience? Do we know when we do something wrong? Sure we do. God has given us a conscience to convict us. What about Christians around us? Those are people who should be examples to us. What about Christ in the Word of God? God has given us all these tools, if you will, all these things around us to point us to Christ. He has given us the Scriptures, but people won't read it. Because you know why? It convicts us. It reproves us. It sets us back. It shows us what's wrong. It shows us also what is right. It shows us how we can get it right. But a lot of us make a what? Choice. I don't need your Jesus, Marilyn Monroe said. John Lennon said, Christianity, gone. That bisexual said, you know what? That's for you, God. How many others make fun of God, who he is, and so on? We see God says in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. God is not against riches. He's not against money. But if we went to Timothy, we see the Lord says, those who love, the love of money. That is, it says, they that will be rich. Those who have determined in their minds that they will be rich no matter what. And that's what a lot of these people were. And when they got there, they found out that there was nothing for them there. And yet all along, they were criticizing the very Creator, the one, the blesser who blessed them. And that's why they ended up where they are even today. We see in this little story a man who left God right out of the picture. We see in all these other stories that have been mentioned, people who left God right out of their lives. God starts our lives in our mother's womb, and God has the right and the authority to end our lives. And he has our appointment, every one of us, he has it marked in his calendar. I don't know when I'm going to die. God knows when I'm going to die. That could be tonight. That could be today. But my part of the life is this, to be ready, to prepare to meet God. And I'm thank God that I did that way back in 1982. One night when the Spirit of God got a hold of me, opened my eyes and said, Brian, you know what? You need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ, the one who died for you. You need to accept him as your Savior, because if you don't, you will go to hell. Think about this. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God, he put, as it were, a death sentence on Adam if he ate of that one tree. Why did he do that? Because he wanted men and women to make a choice. God did not want a whole bunch of robots in heaven. Everybody doing exactly because God told them they had to. God put a tree there. He said, in the day that thou eatest of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And people today are mocking, saying, well, Adam didn't die then. He died spiritually then. And that's what God was talking about. He began to die physically. And every one of us know that we will die physically. But in that moment, Adam and Eve, they died spiritually. That is, the word death means separation. They were separated. How can we prove that? In Genesis chapter 3, God drove them out of that garden that he prepared for them. But then God, in his compassion, he sent his son to die for that death sentence on Calvary's cross because he loved you and I. And he asked us to believe that. And when we believe it and accept Jesus Christ, our only way into God, then we are reconnected with God. We are not separated anymore. We are back in connection with him. But that is the problem we have. People just don't want to believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. The Lord says in the Bible in Acts chapter 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? From hell, from sin, from a sin sentence, from the death sentence, everything. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Can I save anyone? No. The choice is left up to you. It's between you and the Lord. You can be saved right where you are. The moment you say, Lord, I recognize myself as a sinner. I accept Jesus Christ. I recognize him as my only Savior, and I accept him today as my Savior. Please save me. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We're going to pray, and then we're going to close in a hymn. Our Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee so much for loving us. We thank thee, Father, for the stories in the Bible and stories even in lifetime, Father, that we can understand fully that there is a God who cares, but a God who is holy, a God who does not change. And Father, every one of us, we are living in time. We have been all allotted a certain amount of time to live. But there is a time when that our lives will run out, time will run out, and eternity will begin. Because someone holds that time in his hands, our appointment will come due. Father, we pray that each one here this morning will have prepared themselves to meet God when time ends. We thank thee for your love. We thank thee for your Son who loved us and gave himself for us. And we think of how he endured contradiction. He was despised. He was rejected. He was crucified by those whom he had created. And yet, Father, he willingly died that we might go free. Thank you for salvation's plan. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word of God. Thank you for each one who has come out, and we pray that you bless them. Take us home in safety, we pray. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.